Consider what these words say. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So you proclaim, you preach. And it's in this proclamation that you proclaim the who of this meal. The Lord of this supper is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became flesh and blood, was born of Mary, and offered his body and blood at the cross for your sins. And then you also get to proclaim the what, that this supper is a communion with Jesus Christ. It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine for us Christians to eat and drink, instituted by Christ himself. And you also proclaim where. This meal is celebrated where the people of God are gathered, examined, and in agreement upon the word of God. This is how St. Paul declares it to be, lest people commune to their judgment and fall asleep. You also proclaim when, which is often, as in as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. The Lord delights to bestow his forgiveness, and so you proclaim the need for frequent communion with him. And of course, you proclaim why. You are sinners in need of forgiveness, and in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. And finally, we don't want to blow too quickly past the verb in this sentence. You proclaim. You don't just remember something that happened a long time ago. You proclaim his death. Maybe that sounds a bit grim, but this means that you proclaim the gospel. Because what is the gospel other than that Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins? And God's proclamation, his word, is living and active. So this meal doesn't just remember, but it gives and bestows forgiveness because the word made flesh is here. Again, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. As you receive the Lord's Supper, this is the confession of faith that you make. Likewise, this is the confession of faith you are to make before you receive the Lord's Supper. To do otherwise would be to misuse the sacrament, to misuse Jesus' last will and testament. But as we know, not everybody gets things right. They certainly didn't in Corinth, which is why Paul wrote these words in 1 Corinthians 11. In fact, he also included these warning verses, 19 and 20. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Like those in Corinth, we can also desire a meal that is something other than the Lord's Supper. As an example, there will be those who are unrepentant of sin, but still wish to partake in the meal. In that case, for them, the meal has become a way to insist that their sin's not so bad, that their status is not different, that their reputation is intact. And it's at that point that we lovingly and firmly say, you're looking for a different meal. This supper's not to proclaim that sin doesn't matter. This meal is to proclaim that the Lord died to deliver you from that sin. And there will also be the trouble of false teaching. And we see this when Paul writes, there must be factions among you. And the word there for factions is actually heresies. So false teaching will always go for the throat of the Lord's Supper, where Jesus is present with his people. There will be those who say that Jesus is not present in the bread and the wine, or that it doesn't matter since the meal is really just about Christians being united together, despite any doctrinal differences. There will be those who practice false doctrine and demand to be included due to some kind of human association. And again, it's at that point that we lovingly but firmly say, you're looking for a different meal. Because this supper is not to proclaim unity and diversity. This meal is to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then there'll be those who just want to be included and they have no idea why. And it is they whom we remind of St. Paul's instructions that we examine ourselves and know what the supper is about before we partake. And to examine ourselves, we must be instructed from the word so that we know how to examine ourselves. And so we say to them, we want you to be prepared for this meal before you receive it, because this is to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, each attempt for an exception, no matter how well-intentioned, it seems to move to change the supper into some different kind of meal. But we don't want a different meal. This isn't a recipe to be tweaked according to our preferences. If it is the supper, and one can receive it unworthily, he receives it then to his judgment. If the supper is changed in any way from the mandate of Jesus, then it's no longer the supper, and it no longer delivers forgiveness of sins. Look, I know that defending the Lord's Supper is not an enjoyable, emotionally fulfilling experience, but it is an opportunity to confess the truth. After all, why does the word say that there must be factions among you? Well, so that those approved may be recognized among you. Think of these confrontations over the Lord's Supper as an opportunity for you to declare what the word says. For part of believing is knowing what you don't believe, and part of confessing what is true is condemning what is false. Therefore, when you stand for that which is true, you do so to proclaim that truth so that they too might be delivered from their sins and misbeliefs into the truth of what Jesus declares. Jesus instituted this meal, and by his declaration, he brings you into his very presence as he visits you with his very body and blood, given up on the cross, now given for you and to you. In this meal, he gives you the forgiveness of sins. He gives you eternal life. Here your faith is strengthened. Here is your salvation. That is why the Lord's Supper is to remain the Lord's Supper. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And it is by this very body and blood given for you that your Lord proclaims to you that you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.